We just celebrated Christmas, and my wife and I try to make it meaningful for our kids. One of my favorite parts about Christmas now is getting dressed up like a shepherd and dramatically telling the story of the birth of Jesus in the first person as if I was there. And I also absolutely love singing Christmas songs together around the candlelight of our homemade Advent wreath. But when I was a kid, it was all about the gifts. We used to get this thick Christmas catalog from Sears, and I would flip through that, circling all the toys I was interested in, and then narrow down a list of what I hoped to receive. Even now, I feel a little nostalgic thinking about the anticipation of gifts at Christmas when I was a kid. On that morning, my older sister would wake me up, and we would jump up and down in glee and then run off to the living room to see presents under the tree. I'm sure my parents would have loved to sleep in, but we would drag them out of bed so we could begin tearing open the wrapping paper to see what we were given. Receiving gifts as a kid was a mixed experience. Sometimes I was full of joy as I got a gift I really wanted. Other times I was a little disappointed with my gift. Sometimes I used my new toys frequently, and other times they collected dust. And sometimes kids at school would be comparing gifts after Christmas and seeing who got the best ones. This morning, we're going to talk about a different kind of gifts. Our Heavenly Father gives us greater gifts than we receive as Christmas presents. God gives us spiritual gifts. These are gifts that we are meant to use, and we're not meant to be comparing with the gifts of others. What are spiritual gifts? Let's find out. If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to flip to 1 Corinthians 12. The text will also be on the screen. We're going to begin at verse 4. Please listen attentively to the reading of Holy Scripture. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Before exploring this passage, let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this ancient scripture and for how You still speak through it today. Open our minds to deeper understanding. Open our hearts to eagerly desire Your gifts. And open our hands to serve You faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last Sunday of the year, and this sermon is a one-off. It's not part of a sermon series. I was given the freedom to choose whatever passage of scripture and topic, and so I prayerfully chose the topic of spiritual gifts because I believe this is good news for all of us. God gives everyone a gift to contribute for the common good. This morning, we're going to explore the what, who, and why of spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Who gives and receives them? And why are they important? Let's begin with the what. What are spiritual gifts? I like this simple definition from a pastor named Gene Wilkes. A spiritual gift is an expression of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, which empowers them to serve the body of Christ, the church. Spiritual gifts are empowerment for service. God gives us abilities beyond our natural strengths, and He calls us to use them for His glory and for the common good. It's not always easy to distinguish between our spiritual gifts and our natural abilities. Sometimes God takes our natural abilities and infuses new power into them and gives us a new direction for how to use them. I experienced this in the area of music. I've always loved music since I was a young kid, and I learned to sing and play guitar. I had some natural talent, but at first, my focus was all on myself, on the pleasure I felt as I played music, on the money I wanted to make from it, and the fame I hoped to achieve with it. I was living all in my strength, and it was all about me. But at some point, God changed my heart, and he empowered me to serve through music as a worship leader. Instead of trying to see what I could get out of music, I began seeing what I could give. That this gift of music was given to me, not just for my own sake, but for others. So as a worship leader, I was able to work with other musicians and help them grow in their abilities and bring a team together in unity around a common mission of leading others in worship. As a worship leader up front, I was able to lead the congregation and help them connect with God. And some people would talk with me after about how they really sensed God's presence and how God was speaking to them through the music. This was God working through me, not primarily my own doing. And there have been many Sunday services where I have noticed God weave themes together in songs, prayers, and sermons that went well beyond my planning. I would prayerfully choose songs, but sometimes I had no idea how God would connect the dots and bring something bigger together, until I was sitting in the pew and listening to the sermon and hearing the preacher say the same words and phrases that were in some of the songs that sometimes that I didn't plan, and I don't think the preacher planned. It was God working through both of us as we each contributed something, and God brought together a unified message. This is God working through me. And even though my role at the church has changed from being a worship coordinator leading worship every week to being an associate pastor, I still get to use this gift sometimes, filling in when there's need at our various services like I did last week at Kits. A Christian comedian named Michael Jr. had a similar experience of God redirecting his skills in humor. When comedy was all about him, he focused on trying to get laughs from the audience. But God changed his mindset about comedy and invited him to give people an opportunity to laugh. Instead of trying to get laughs, he would give laughs. One night after a comedy show, Michael noticed a homeless man across the street and wondered why this guy wasn't getting an opportunity to laugh. This sparked an idea, and Michael decided to go on a tour where he would put on comedy shows for juvenile prisoners, for people with HIV, and for kids who have suffered abuse. These were tough crowds, but God gave Michael a gift in comedy, and he called him to use it to give people an opportunity to laugh, people who really needed one. We've all been given gifts, and God is calling us to use them to meet needs. Sometimes spiritual gifts are God infusing our natural abilities with new power and new direction. There are other situations where God gives us gifts that are inconsistent with our natural abilities. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God's strength can be experienced in our lives in areas where we are normally weak. When I was a kid, I had a speech impediment. I couldn't say the letter R. I sounded like I had an accent, and this was embarrassing for me. I was often misunderstood. I was sometimes teased. Occasionally, kids would ask me to say something just so they could laugh at my pronunciation. As a young child, this was fairly traumatic. I began to believe lies about myself and replay this inner dialogue. "You're not good enough. What's wrong with you? You have nothing good to say. It's not safe to talk. You might as well keep your mouth shut." After some speech therapy, I grew out of my speech impediment, but this internal dialogue remained. So I struggled socially for years. I spent a lot of time alone, and I was known for being quiet. But somewhere along the way, God's grace intervened. God opened my mouth and gave me words to say. And perhaps the greatest surprise of my life was when I began to sense God calling me to preach. This quiet kid with a speech impediment would have never believed that one day he would stand in front of a congregation and talk for 30 minutes. But that's how God's grace works sometimes. He can take our areas of weakness and work powerfully through them. I make no claims to be a great preacher. This isn't about me. This is about what God can do through me when I let him. What might God do through you when you let him? Spiritual gifts are God-given abilities, and God can work through us even where we are normally weak. So what kinds of abilities are considered spiritual gifts? In 1 Corinthians 12, which we read earlier, we see a list of gifts. A message of wisdom, a message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different tongues, and interpreting tongues. This is not an exhaustive list. There are multiple lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, and they're all different. They're meant to be examples, not all the options. The list in 1 Corinthians 12 focuses on abilities that some people would call supernatural. In the context of this passage, Paul wanted to correct some misunderstandings that the Corinthians had about these kinds of supernatural gifts. They were being arrogant, competitive, and divisive over some the spiritual gifts that some people had, and they were having spiritual pride over this supernatural abilities. That's why Paul mentions these kinds of gifts here. In other passages, Paul lists gifts that seem more ordinary. However, these supernatural abilities are all legitimate gifts that God gives to some people throughout Scripture and throughout church history. For almost all of the gifts listed here, I know people who have personal experience, and I've witnessed almost all of them myself. I can understand skepticism about this kind of stuff, but I encourage you to keep an open mind. I've met a number of people who have some prophetic gifting. They internally hear a message from God that seems distinguishable from their own thoughts. Or they might have a vision, a picture, or a dream that they discern as a message from God. My friend Michelle has the gift of prophecy, and she told me about one of her first experiences. She was on a missions trip in Ecuador, and during a worship service, they broke off into small groups to pray. And in her prayer group, most people were praying in Spanish, but she was praying in English. At one point, she began to see some letters appear in her mind's eye, and these letters formed a first and last name. She didn't personally know anyone with that name, and it was a fairly common Hispanic male name, so she wondered if maybe this was just her imagination. But then she sensed God inviting her to pray for this name, so she did. She prayed out loud in English, and as she was doing so, one of the Spanish-speaking ladies looked surprised and went off to get the translator so she could come talk with Michelle. It turns out that the name Michelle was praying for was written down in the back of this other woman's Bible. It was the name of a guy whose father had recently died. This woman had been meaning to follow up with him, but hadn't yet made the time. Michelle's prophetic prayer encouraged her to go reach out to him. She took it as God reminding her to do what she needed to do. A woman named Maria at our church told me about a dream. In her dream, a man was falling from a 10-story building, but after he hit the ground, he got up and looked totally fine, not a broken bone or even a scratch. So in the dream, she ran up to him and said, "You're alive, you're alive. You survived such a fall unscathed. You should be happy. Why don't you look relieved?" But he didn't answer and just stood there with no expression. She noticed that he resembled her coworker. After she woke up, she began praying about this, and she internally heard God say, "He's hurting on the inside." So Maria decided to be a little more intentional with her relationship with her coworker. She started asking him some deeper questions and trying to have some better conversations. And he's someone that always looks well put together. He's good looking and people like him, but she didn't feel like she knew the real him. But he eventually opened up to her that he's hurting inside. He's estranged from his father, and he hasn't known what to do about that. This prophetic dream led Maria to deepening her relationship with her coworker and slowly showing God's love to him. Sometimes spiritual gifts fit more into the supernatural realm. Other times, spiritual gifts seem a little more ordinary. In Romans 12, Paul gives a very different list of spiritual gifts. In verses 6 to 8, he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." With the exception of prophecy, everything else in this list seems quite ordinary. Some people are more comfortable with these ordinary kinds of gifts, while others long to see more of the supernatural happening. My sense is that both are important, and God works powerfully through both of these, whether supernatural or ordinary. And yet, maybe God gives ordinary gifts more commonly, and maybe we need these distributed more abundantly because these sustain us for the long term as a community. We need people who serve to get things done. We need encouragers who call out the best in us and give us words of hope. We need people who give above and beyond a typical financial offering to support local and global ministries. We need people who show kindness and mercy. We need people who teach us and help us grow. We need people who lead us with a compelling vision for our community. No one person can sufficiently do all of this. So God distributes these gifts to each of us so that when we come together, we can each contribute something for the common good. What are spiritual gifts? They are the unique abilities that the Holy Spirit empowers us with for the common good. Let's move on to our second question. Who gives and receives spiritual gifts? We've already begun to answer this, but let's dig deeper. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." So even though we see all kinds of different gifts, it's the same God who gives all of them. The same God who worked powerfully through Moses, David, the prophets, and the apostles in Scripture can work powerfully through you too. Have you ever wondered, what could I possibly contribute? Is there any way God can work through me? Can I serve meaningfully? I'm just an ordinary person without much to give. God loves to choose people just like you. It's not about what we bring to the table, but about what God brings to the table when we make ourselves available to him. God is generous. He gives abundantly. If we have open hands towards God, he will fill them. Jesus told us about the generosity of our Heavenly Father in Luke 11. He said, "Which of you fathers, if you ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If you want to experience more of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life, simply ask God for it. With an open and receptive posture towards God, you can pray something like, "Lord, I want to experience more of your presence in my life. I want you to work powerfully through me. I want to serve you and work not in my own strength, but in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I will gratefully receive whatever gift you give me and seek to use it for your glory and for the good of the community." What do you think will happen if you pray that way? Do you think God will ignore you? Do you think he will place a heavy burden on you? No. He is a good God, he is generous, and he loves you. There's a guy named John at one of our other sites who has been hesitant to step into leadership. He has some abilities in singing and playing guitar, but his preference was to play a supportive role for another worship leader rather than leading worship himself. Yet he clearly had leadership gifting. Eventually, despite his preference to be in the background, he voluntarily jumped in to lead worship at a retreat when no one else was available. And at the retreat, his leadership shined. His song choices were so fitting with the themes of the guest speaker's talks. He led the band with a gentle confidence. And his spoken elements were clear, thoughtful, and even sprinkled with some appropriate humor at just the right moments. Since that retreat, John has become a regular worship leader at the worship services. Even though he had originally doubted his abilities, God was at work through him. God is the one who gives the gifts, and we just need to be open to receiving them and willing to use them. So if you're worried at all about God giving you a gift you don't want, maybe a gift that comes with too much responsibility, I invite you to consider God's goodness and how he can transform your heart along with your abilities. Paul says that God gives gifts to everyone. He says, in everyone, it is the same God at work. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. He distributes them to each one, just as he determines. No one is left out. God gives spiritual gifts to every member of the community. The same Lord Jesus, who had all the gifts of the Spirit himself, distributes parts of his gifting to each of us so that when we come together and each do our part, we can be the body of Christ, continuing his ministry on earth. Do you realize that you help make Jesus present here? As you contribute your gifts, we encounter Jesus more fully. We see Jesus more clearly when you participate in whatever way God is calling you to. Likewise, when you aren't here or when you don't participate in whatever way God is calling you, something's missing. This leads us to our third question. Why do spiritual gifts matter? Spiritual gifts matter because they help us understand the unique contributions that each of us make. They show us that diversity is good. Paul uses the imagery of a body. The human body is a unified whole and yet is made up of many parts. We have a head, a torso, and limbs, a respiratory system, a digestive system, a nervous system, a circulatory system. Even my 1.5-year-old daughter knows we have a head and shoulders, knees and toes, eyes, ears, mouth and nose. We are one body with many parts. And diversity in community is good. If we were all task-oriented, we could get a lot of things done, but maybe we'd be lacking in relationships as a community. If we were all people-oriented, we might have strong relationships, but maybe not get anything done. If we were all pragmatic, where would beauty be? If we were all artistic, where would logistics be? If we were all one thing, if we had all just the same gifts, everything else would be lacking. Imagine a hockey team made up of only goalies. Or imagine a hockey team that had no goalie or defenseman because everyone was a forward. This wouldn't work. The diversity of players on a team is a good and necessary thing. As Paul says in verses 17 to 18, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's a glorious thing that we have a mix of gifts in the community. In God's wisdom, he distributes various gifts to the members of the church so that when we come together and each do our part, we can be a fully functioning body. We can have unity in diversity. It's a beautiful thing to see the church community working together as a unified whole. At a Sunday service, I see our greeters welcoming people, our musicians lead worship, our techs run sound and media, our ushers collect the offering, the communion team serve the bread and wine, the prayer team interceding for people, the hospitality team making sure there's refreshments. All these teams are being led by others with the gift of leadership. This all functions because people are contributing their gifts. And people contribute their gifts not only on Sunday services, but throughout the week at all kinds of different ministries. We've got kids ministry, youth and young adults, Alpha, the Oasis Cafe and Kids Cares Cafe meal programs, Live Wire after school program, spiritual formations courses, people who use their cooking gifts to feed people at these programs and events. The list could go on and on with all the different ways that people are serving, using their gifts in the community. For example, I got a ride from here to Kits and back again by a guy named Joseph, he's often driving Ken Shigematsu or whoever's preaching around, and that's one unique way he can contribute. We can each find something that God is calling us to do. And people use their gifts not only on Sundays, but midweek, as people meet in homes at Life Group. Some people lead their group and teach their group. Others care and encourage and provide hospitality. Some help keep the group organized. Some help the group have fun. There's all kinds of ways that people can use their gifts in Life Group. And I think Life Group might be one of the best contexts to explore spiritual gifts and begin putting them into practice. That smaller context where there's a group of people that are rooting for you provides a safe place to take risks and see how God works through you. And people not only use their gifts in Life Group, at church, but throughout their lives in whatever ways God calls them in their homes, in their communities, at work. So it's a beautiful thing to see the parts of the body working and functioning for the greater whole. Spiritual gifts matter because they show us that diversity is good. They also matter because they show us that we need each other. Each part of the body cannot function on its own. All the gifts are indispensable and work together for the flourishing of the body. No one can look down on someone else for whatever gift they do or do not have. In verses 21 to 25, Paul says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. In Jesus' economy, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If anyone wants to be great, they must serve others." When we see someone humbly serving, this is cause for affirmation. You know who has one of the most thankless roles in the church? The sound tech. Sound techs rarely get the affirmation they deserve, but only get attention when a mic isn't working or when there's feedback coming through the speakers. But sound techs are some of the hardest working people I know. They show up early to set up all the sound equipment. They run a sound check with the band and the speaker. And then they're working through the whole service, muting and unmuting channels, adjusting EQs and volumes. They also hold a lot of responsibility. We wouldn't be able to hear the music or the sermon if the sound tech didn't do their job. There would be no sermon posted on the website if the sound tech didn't hit record. This thankless role is indispensable and worthy of great honor. So I invite you to give a round of applause to James, our sound tech, this morning. I encourage you to learn the names of all your sound techs. Give them encouragement. Write a card for them. Give a little present to them, a Starbucks gift card or something. They normally have the kind of character to not need this personal affirmation, but just be like really strong, servant-hearted people. But let's honor them anyway. this passage of scripture calls us to give greater honor to the parts of the body that tend to lack it. When we can recognize the God-given gifts in others and celebrate what God is doing through them, we become a special kind of community, a community where everyone is valued, where everyone can contribute, where everyone can experience unity in diversity, and where everyone has more potential than they realize in themselves because God is at work through them. This is why I get excited about spiritual gifts. When we come together as the body of Christ and each participate using whatever gifts God gives us, we flourish like a healthy body. And this can feel like a taste of heaven on earth. Having heard this good news that God gives everyone a gift to contribute for the common good, consider whether there's perhaps a different way God might be inviting you to use the gifts he's given you for his glory and for the common good. May we keep growing as the body of Christ as we each contribute our gifts. Let's pray. Glorious and generous and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. Fill our hearts with gratitude for the gifts you've already given. Open our hearts with desire for whatever gifts you may still give. Guide us in how to use our gifts for your glory and for the common good. And move us to rejoice in the gifts you have given to others. Build us up in unity and maturity as the body of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.